Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A defiant Luigi Mangione, charged in the New York City murder of United Healthcare CEO, arriving at court in Blair County, Pennsylvania for an extradition hearing and shouting to ABC station WNAP.
As completely out of touch, as an insult to the intelligence of the American people, it's lived experience.
The 26-year-old handcuffed and wrangling with officers as they escorted him into the building. NYPD says Mangione wrote several pages about his disdain for corporate America and United Healthcare. He was arrested yesterday at a McDonald's in Altoona. Reports that GOP Senate leader Mitch McConnell fell during the Senate Republican lunch today. He was taken to his office where two medical responders were briefly seen and have since departed. Aides tell ABC News he is fine. In Southern California, crews in Malibu battling a wildfire. Santa Ana winds driving flames and forcing 18,000 evacuations. More than 2,200 acres have burned so far. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin farmers will soon see more raw milk testing for avian flu as national regulators attempt to halt the spread of the disease. So far, there have been no confirmed cases of the virus in the state, despite confirmed cases in neighboring Minnesota, Michigan, and Iowa. Under the U.S. Department of Agriculture's new testing strategy, states like Wisconsin, which have so far been unaffected, will have the frequency of sampling decreased after several rounds. Cows must also be tested before fairs or exhibitions and interstate travel. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the state's outdoor recreation industry had another record-setting year. According to a press release, outdoor recreation in Wisconsin contributed over $11 billion to the state economy, a nearly 10% jump from its contribution in 2023. Multi-use apparel and accessories and motorcycling and ATVing led the growth, with each category generating over $1 billion of economic impact. Boating and fishing generated the third most impact at $928 million. A Rice Lake man accused of burglary at a closed sand plant near Chetek has entered a guilty plea. On Monday, 28-year-old Draven Mers pled guilty to felony burglary relating to the September 2023 theft. According to court documents, Mers and 35-year-old Lee Lefevers broke into the facility to steal wires and electrical components. Lefevers pled guilty on burglary charges earlier this year. Mers was charged with criminal damage to property, but that charge was dismissed as part of the plea deal. He's scheduled to be sentenced in February. The Shell Lake Police Department has released an update on a bomb threat received by the school district on Monday. According to law enforcement officials, the district received a recorded phone call from an anonymous caller claiming there was a bomb in the school and armed individuals would be arriving in minutes. The district was placed into its lockdown protocols and authorities conducted a thorough search, finding no evidence of any threats. A number of other districts across the state also received similar hoax threats on Monday. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team is on the road taking on Illinois. The Badgers dropped in the rankings from 11 to 20th after back-to-back losses to Michigan and Marquette. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Magic in Milwaukee for another NBA Cup game. Damian Lillard only scored 11 points in Sunday's win over the Brooklyn Nets. That snapped a six-game streak of 25 points or more per game for Dame. Doc Rivers.
He struggled a little bit early, you know, but I thought down the stretch, he was clutch and got it going, made right plays. He's not going to have 40 every night. He's not even going to be great every night. No one is.
NFL, the Packers reviewed the tape of their game against the Lions.
We kind of went through the game recap today and just playing consistent football. I think there was a lot of opportunities in that game where we had advantages that we didn't capitalize on. And I think it always comes back to just doing the little things the right way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and calm today, with high temperatures already being reached early this morning and are sliding slowly to the single digits tonight. Snow moves in this evening and continues throughout tomorrow morning. Then we'll be battling blustery winds and frigid wind chills alongside plummeting temperatures. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK, Amory Community Center's Christmas Day Dinner is coming. On Christmas Day, the community center located on Harriman Avenue South, and the dinner will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., suggested donation of $10 for adults and $5 for children. Christmas Day, 11 to 2 at the Amory Community Center. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, guess which Republican candidate who claims to have never lost an election is a leading contender to become Trump's ambassador to Mexico. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
What is going on, y'all? Happy Tuesday. It continues to be an incredibly busy news week. We have all of the breaking news for you about Luigi Mangione. This is the man who has now been arrested, whom prosecutors are trying to extradite from Pennsylvania to New York for last week's assassination of United Healthcare's CEO. So again, all of that to come. Again, if you want to join the conversation, I'm going to have some very specific questions for you because I think this case is raising all kinds of issues that are troubling and frankly a bit fascinating. So if you're going to want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But before we get there, I have to remind y'all, of course, it is Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win sweepstakes contest that kicked off yesterday. You're going to need the app for this. And during the, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours, you get a keyword, you text that in, and you will be entered to win in that hour either $100 of cold hard cash, always good around the holidays, or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. In addition, when you text in the keyword of the hour, you will also be entered to win one of our grand prizes, which includes robot vacuums, which I have to say, Curdy, who is behind the board today, do you have one of these things? Because my robot vacuum saves my life. It is a huge help.
I've had a robo vac before. It broke on me, and I blame my German Shepherd for that, for chasing after it.
Yeah. Yes, if you have pets, you need like a little bit of a warning, because pets and the robot vacuums, they sometimes don't get along so well. No. Yeah, so there's a couple of robot vacuums, there's luggage, an espresso machine, all kinds of cool stuff. I think there may even be a humidifier, and I've joked, once you have a humidifier in your house, that is when you know you are fully into adulthood. Chris from Janesville texting in and letting us know that he named his robot vacuum Rambo. I love it. They can be both very helpful, but be sure that your robot vacuum has the AI to avoid tumbling down the stairs. That was fun. I had a really early generation one, and it took a tumble, and that was it for that robot vacuum. But again, Dom is going to drop the next word on you in the 4 o'clock hour. He's got the fantastic show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. to keep you company on your drive. I'm here from 2 to 4 to keep you company. And there is other breaking news that I wanted to share with y'all today. Have you heard about the Franklin Fire that is happening right now in Malibu? Holy cow. This thing is powerful. It is 0% contained. There are approximately 700 firefighters fighting this fire. It's so hot that apparently, like, it's now the season for the Santa Ana winds in California, and the fire's so hot, it's actually, like, bending the wind patterns, if you can believe that. Like, I didn't know that a fire could get so hot that it actually changes wind patterns, but it makes sense since it's consuming so much O2. And this fact blew my mind away as well. The fire grew 300%. In other words, it got three times as big inside of an hour. Holy cow. And one of the reasons that it is burning so hot and has gotten so big so fast, I think there's something like 2,000 plus acres have been destroyed, is because while the rainy season usually starts in November, they haven't gotten any rain. So it is extremely dry. And now, to set the stage a little bit, if you've ever been to Malibu, and I was only there because I was the help. I had a client in Malibu, and I had to go meet with them. It is very, you either have like the beautiful oceanside houses, or the houses are like up in these Malibu hills and they're surrounded by woods and trees. So it is a literal tinderbox there. And interestingly enough, I have only been to Malibu one other time. So I was there as a lawyer, had a client there. I had been to Malibu one other time as a baby little lawyer. There was a conference that was held at Pepperdine University, which is in Malibu. Now, I have to tell you, I walked around Pepperdine's campus and I went, I do not know how any students get anything done here because it is freaking gorgeous. And they also have a fabulous baseball program there. Just FYI, y'all know I love the baseball. But I mention this because Pepperdine was its eastern edge of the campus, what was under threat from this Franklin fire, again, in Malibu, currently burning right now. And apparently, Pepperdine had to issue a shelter in place order to the entire campus and directed students last night to the cafeteria and the library. Can you imagine that? Like, your kid is at university and all of a sudden they're calling you and they're like, yeah, there's a fire out of control. And so we're all huddled in the cafeteria and the university library. Like, so frightening. And then I was thinking to myself, I remember exams. Like, these kids are all in their exam period. And oh my goodness gracious, that's as if exams weren't stressful enough. Now try to study while a fire rages outside and you're all packed into the cafeteria or the library. I can tell you this. When I was at Marquette, we used to hang out in the Union. That was where you would go for a snack and to avoid studying while looking like you were studying. It was mostly just hanging out and flirting and all of the nonsense that attends to those kinds of things. But this Franklin fire, y'all, like, keep an eye on this. No rain since November, since the rainy season started, 0% under control, 2,000 acres, 2,200 if I'm being specific, has already been burned. It has now consumed a few buildings. One of the things about Malibu, as you might infer, lots of rich people there. So the houses at least tend to be a little spread out, if you know what I'm saying, except on the ocean side. And some of the fire got very close to the ocean, which is in and of itself incredibly trippy and kind of surprising. I personally have never lost my home in some sort of weather event, but it's becoming increasingly the case that more and more Americans are experiencing losses like this. I have a very dear friend who has a home in Florida, and the home burned down last year, and then was they started to rebuild, and the rebuilding was actually then wiped out by the hurricanes earlier this year. I can't imagine doing it once, let alone twice. And, you know, all of this has this relationship to today's news. Biden, of course, giving an address today specifically about the state of the economy that he is handing over to President-elect Donald Trump. And it's interesting because one of the pain points for a lot of Americans, we don't have this problem as much here in the Midwest, but one of the pain points for people in these regions where natural disasters are now newly occurring or occurring with much greater acuity and frequency, meaning they're fiercer and they're happening more frequently, is that they can't afford home insurance, which is just absolutely scary. Can you imagine? You lose everything and you do not have home insurance. What are you going to do? Of course, there are the programs through FEMA, but that's a long process. And this is increasingly the case. If you think about even what happened in North Carolina with the hurricane season, these places had never seen hurricanes take out entire cities. And yet that's what we're seeing here. So it is an extraordinary moment. In terms of, hey, can people continue to not only buy the home that they want, that's part of the American dream, but can they insure it depending on where you live? I mean, that is the new normal. But I want to get you some of the breaking news that we've got about Mr. Luigi Mangione. Cardi was kind enough to put together some sound. I wanted to just kick it off. Do we have time for this first sound, Cardi, or should we do that on the back end here, sir?
We got about 2 minutes left. I got a clip for you.
Yeah, let's take a listen. This is all breaking news happening. He is in his extradition hearing. I've got some of the arguments that prosecutors and Mr. Mangione himself were making, but let's take a listen here.
Speak to any security concerns given the amount of people who are online supporting this suspect.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly a very polarized case. You know, we have received some threats against our officers in building here. We've started investigating some threats against some citizens in our community. We're taking all those threats seriously and doing all the follow-up we can with those.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting moment. Cardi, can you hear me? I'm not sure if I can hear. Oh, there we go.
Yep, we're good.
Awesome. That's one of the things that has jumped out on me. I've seen a lot of the commentary online, right? He's hot. You know,
get all over.
Yes. I mean, it's an awkward moment that we find ourselves in. So, y'all, one of the things that I find very fascinating about this, and I'm going to give you all of the up-to-date news. We've got some more sound for you when we come back after we take care of a little bit of business. So you're going to want to stay tuned to hear that. And then I'm going to drop some pretty scintillating and interesting questions on you. All of that is coming up. I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the position of Mr. Mangione's friends and family. I'm going to have a particular question for you. So put your imagination hats on, and we're going to get to that next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, 855-75-CIVIC. That is 855-752-4842.
Listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. And we've got breaking news yet again today. Luigi Mangione, the man who assassinated the United Healthcare CEO last week, has been apprehended in Altoona, Pennsylvania. That occurred yesterday. And today, his extradition hearing, I'm not sure if it has completed, but it was ongoing as I got on air. Extremely interesting arguments being made by Mr. Mangione himself, as well as the district attorneys. Cardi was very kind enough to get together some of the sound of this breaking news as we were getting on the air. It's always fun when we're trying to get that done for you all right as we start off the show. Cardi, I'm going to let you set up this next bit of sound so that folks know what we're listening to, and then let's take some of these sounds, and then I'm going to zoom back out for y'all and ask you a very scintillating question. Cardi, what do we got next?
All right, so here, the next one is a set of questions that they asked the reporter. They were interviewing the deputy, and they had a set of questions for him. So this is about a 35-second clip for that one.
Okay, cool.
Have you guys received any more tips about sightings?
We have not. We are currently following up with his movements within the city of Altoona, and we are cooperating and assisting the Pennsylvania State Police with that investigation.
There's still a timeline of when he actually got into. Can you tell us any other locations that he may have been in?
At this point, we're still following up, and it's early in that investigation.
Do you have their timeline sense of when he may have gotten to Altoona?
I don't have that information.
We've seen some images of him from inside of the McDonald's. Is there body camera video now that will also be released?
There is body cam video. At this point, it's not going to be released.
Very interesting. What else you got? I know you put together a couple clips, Cardi.
Most definitely.
Let's keep listening.
All right. B is an eyewitness account from them doing a news report on the people that were actually there that testified on them seeing them and actually did the report of calling the police. So,
okay, great. Let's take a listen.
Yep.
Gary Mangione being held there in Altoona this morning. What more are we learning about his arrest and the evidence police there found when they took him into custody?
Yeah, on a 5 days after investigators used drones and canines and scuba divers trying to find evidence to find the suspect, it all came down to good old-fashioned see something, say something. And that's what happened at the McDonald's in Altoona when a patron saw something suspicious, somebody suspicious in the corner of the restaurant, notified an employee that worked there. That employee then recognized him from the photos that had been circulating and called law enforcement. The NYPD said this morning that that particular man, Luigi, was not even on the law enforcement's radar until that phone call happened. Now, according to court documents, when Altoona police showed up and started questioning him about whether he'd been to New York recently, he started shaking and getting visibly agitated. Our team spoke this morning with somebody who was at the McDonald's when this all went down. Here's what he had to say.
The guy came in the door, and I didn't really look at him. I thought it was everyone was kidding around. The one guy said, "That looks like the shooter from New York." And, oh, my God. They arrested this guy at McDonald's. So then I came back and I said to the one worker, I said, "Was that here?" And they said, "Yeah." And I said, "Was I here?" They said, "Yeah, you were sitting over there."
So this is really interesting because remember, y'all, yesterday on the show, and if you missed yesterday's show, do not worry. You can go check that out at civicmedia.us/shows/Maggie Dawn Show. Yesterday, I said, I think a key element of this guy's defense is going to come down to what is called the Terry stop, which constitutionally speaking means you have to have a reasonable suspicion to detain someone and then pat them down. That is what the police interaction with Mr. Mangione was at that McDonald's in Altoona yesterday. But this fact that this witness and the police report indicated adds another layer to this. In other words, not only did they have the physical similarities between Mr. Mangione and the photographs of the suspect, okay, which potentially might even be enough on its own for that reasonable suspicion-based Terry stop. But what we just heard is that as police were questioning him, there was this very fascinating moment where they said, "Hey, have you been to New York City recently?" And the guy physically started shaking. Y'all, I'm just going to make the call now. They're going to still argue about that Terry stop, but that little fact like right there, yeah, we don't usually start actually quaking and shaking when asked, "Hey, have you been to, I don't know, Dallas lately?" Unless you got something going on, you know what I'm saying? So that fact right there, Cardi, I thought was just fascinating. And again, I think that that will be an absolutely key argument that prosecutors will make about why the Terry stop was perfectly constitutional. And if you've just been newly tuning into the Maggie Dawn Show, I'd like to think I do know a little bit about what I'm talking about here, because I've been a lawyer for a very long, long time. Now, Cardi, before we go to break and I hit everybody with this big question on the other side, I wanted to know, do you have the recording of what he was yelling at reporters as they brought him into the courthouse for the extradition hearing?
I might have that document on here. I have the items that he had in his book bag when they caught him as well, too.
Yeah, which I've covered. I really want the sound of him entering the courtroom because he exclaimed some things at reporters. He yelled out, and we're going to look.
I can bring it up right after break.
Yeah, we'll take a listen. But what he yelled out to people was along the lines of, this is an insult to the intelligence of the American people and their lived experience. Quite an interesting thing to yell out as you are being basically pushed and pulled into the courthouse for that extradition hearing. I also have some of what Mr. Mangione said in the extradition, all of that ahead. And then the big question that I want all of you to weigh in on, I'm going to give you that after we come back, after this next set of messages, which is, of course, going to have Pam Yonke's farm update in it. But let me set the stage. Here is what we know about Mr. Mangione. This guy was Mr. Popular, an Ivy Leaguer, super connected, politically active family, wealthy. They owned two golf courses. This guy knew a ton of people. Did we hear anything from that ton of people from Mr. Mangione's vast network of family and friends and connections? No. We heard about where he was from a random person in a McDonald's. So start thinking about that. We're going to come back on the other side, and I'm going to hit you with the big old question that I want you all to weigh in on. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
So it's that time of the year. Thinking about something new in 2025. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Maybe that involves a bigger garden or adding livestock to the small acreage you've got. Well, whatever you're going to do, start small. That's the suggestion from Leslie Sachina. She is the owner and operator of Cylon Rolling Acres in Deer Park, Wisconsin, where she's focused in on goat production. She said, well, a lot of folks are entertained by those animals. They take work.
I recommend, and I talk to other folks who are interested in doing what we're doing, even if it's a different animal protein too, but they're interested in the direct market piece. I think a lot of times it's start small, start to add up as, you know, grow incrementally, because if you try to do too much at once, you can have a lot of lost balls on the farming side or drop balls on the retail side. And it's okay to grow slowly, because when you're selling your product or even bringing it to, you know, a traditional livestock market, it's easier to work with smaller numbers as you get started and get established in building a market than it is to have a lot of product to get out there and then have to find and source where you go as well.
Not bad advice from Leslie Sachina. She and her husband own and operate Cylon Rolling Acres in Deer Park, Wisconsin, where they're managing about 140 acres that they graze on a herd of about 100 goats. Find them online, CylonRollingAcres.com.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And new calendar year, new face at the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover. Alexandria Berendt has been named their new executive director, officially starting January 2nd. She's got nearly two decades of progressive leadership experience in the nonprofit sector, most recently serving as the manager of philanthropy for the Boy Scouts of America. That's just a quick snapshot on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and calm today, with high temperatures already being reached early this morning and are sliding slowly to the single digits tonight. Snow moves in this evening and continues throughout tomorrow morning. Then we'll be battling blustery winds and frigid wind chills alongside plummeting temperatures. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law.
Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Earl Ingram.
Tune in. Next time, we'll talk about protecting yourself from lead exposure with the Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Flack. I'll also be joined by Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
I'm going to do my song now.
Okay, yay!
What's up, everybody? You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. I have with me in the booth, Cardi. He is the man making it all happen, the magic behind the glass. Can't do it without him. And I can't do it without each and every one of you, because here at Civic Media, it is all about real news and great conversation. And we have more breaking news this afternoon related to the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO last week in Midtown Manhattan at 6:45 in the morning. Again, police have arrested and now are seeking extradition of suspect Luigi Mangione, a 26-year-old Maryland native. And the question that I'm going to ask all of us today, I think, is the one that really needs asking, because this is the young man that, by all appearances, had everything. He went to an Ivy League school. He went to UPenn, where he got his undergraduate and master's degree in engineering. He was the valedictorian of his all-boys elite private prep school. His family, well-known about town, very wealthy, owned two golf courses. He's got a family member that serves as a Republican in the Maryland legislature. This is the guy, again, that really had absolutely everything. And yet, this has occurred. Here's some other details that I thought were very interesting. One of his classmates, I heard an interview of this guy from UPenn, basically described this kid as like your typical frat boy, interested in like hanging out and going to parties. Basically, Mr. Popular. He also had moved to Hawaii, apparently, and was in some sort of like co-living arrangement. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. One of his roommates or neighbors, I'm not exactly sure how the physical plant where he worked looked, but said that he had told him that Mr. Mangione had told this neighbor that he had had back surgery and shared with him pictures related to that procedure, which the witness said looked, quote, heinous, end quote. And other neighbors confirmed that he had complained of back pain for quite some time. We also know he had spent 2 years roughly working as a data engineer or a data analyst. However, Mr. Mangione had basically dropped off the grid. He was not in communication with friends and family, but he did leave a series of somewhat cryptic social media posts, which police and investigators are now reviewing at length. And there were two very interesting social media posts. One was an x-ray of a back, like a backpack that you put on your back, an x-ray of a back with a number of pins in it. And the other one was a repost or a summary of some of what Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, used to say or is purported to have said, which is, where all other forms of communication have failed, violence is often the only next step. And apparently Mr. Mangione had reposted that with the comment, interesting. So We're going to listen to his exclamations as he goes into the extradition hearing, and then I'm going to hit you with the big question that I myself have been thinking about quite a bit, and I'd like your input on it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Mr. Mangione just about like an hour and a half ago walking in to a courtroom in Pennsylvania for the extradition hearing. Again, prosecutors seeking to return him to the state of New York where the original crime was committed. Let's take a listen.
We hate you and completely out of touch and an insult to the intelligence of the American people and to their experience.
And yeah, it's hard to hear there, but I think I hear something like an injustice, and then he says an insult to the intelligence of the American people and their lived experiences. So here is my question for all of you. If you are Luigi Mangione's family or best friend, flatmate, whatever it may be, would you have turned him in? What if it was your kid, your best friend? Would you turn them in? What's the moral obligation here? Are people morally responsible even if they suspected it was him but didn't make the call? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Would you turn in your own kid? Would you turn in your best friend if they had physical features that matched a armed and dangerous suspect, as was the case here? Because at the end of the day, despite the fact that this guy from Maryland knew politicians and wealthy people and went to school in Pennsylvania, lived in Hawaii, was in a fraternity, worked for 2 years, clearly had an enormous network of people, had dropped off the grid for 6 years, six months, had dropped off the grid for 6 months and was making these weird posts, had complained of back pain. I mean, how many crumbs do you need to put this one together? If you were his family member, you'd have to kind of have at least some suspicion. Do you turn in your own kid or your best friend? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And again, if you give us a call and Cardi picks up, make sure you say hello to him. Cardi, of course, I'm going to want to get you to weigh in on this as well. Because this is the joke, you know, like the old saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, a friend is the one that bails you out if you get arrested, but like your best friend is the one sitting next to you in the cell. Like, I've heard that old saying before. Like, and let's say you're one of those people that's like, no, I'm not going to turn in my best friend or my son. Do you actually help him? Like, what if he reaches out and asks for help? Like, holy cow. Text and phone lines are open. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton on the text line saying, we wonder why young people have issues. We need a sustainable system. And unfettered supply-driven capitalism ain't it. Let's see here as well. Again, Matt from Middleton, it's possible he wanted to be in prison since he will get health care. I remember seeing reports of seniors in Japan breaking the law so they could go to have prison to have food, housing, and health care. That is messed up. Yeah, there's two groups of people in the United States who are guaranteed health care. Only two. One of them are persons that are incarcerated, and the other one is veterans. Those are the two groups of people that are entitled, guaranteed to health care in this country. John from Indianapolis, what do you think? Do you turn in your best friend or your kid? John, are you there?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead, sir. Would you turn in your kid or your best friend?
No. And neither would you. Right?
I don't know. It's such an extraordinary set of circumstances. Like, does it matter what they would have done, John? Like, that's my question. You know, like, let's take this crime in particular. Like, you don't turn them in. But what if they had committed, like, a heinous act of terrorism? Do you turn them in then, or is the answer still no?
I in that case, yes, of course. But look, there's a lot of people, and I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but you know, kind of a part of you says, good. I mean, these insurance companies have, you know, denied, you know, coverage of so many people that have died, you know. And again, that's not the answer, what he did. But there's a little part of everybody that says, good. The other question I have for you is, this CEO gets gunned down in New York. The FBI comes in. The police are in full force. What about the guy that died, you know, that afternoon in New York on 10th Street? You know, I don't see the police coming in force to find those people.
Yeah, John, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. That's John from Indianapolis. You want to get in on this discussion, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If it's your kid or your best friend who gunned down the CEO of United Healthcare, do you turn them in? John says no, but he says if it was a terrorist act, he would turn them in. So is it situationally dependent? And John, yesterday on my show, I raised that exact question that you ended with, John, which is, where is the moral outrage? Where is the resources when it's our friend down the street who's a victim of a crime, or someone that we know that is shot and killed? Not all crimes apparently are actually investigated with the same sort of gusto. What makes the difference, right? Is it just the fact that it was such a brazen killing? Is that the standard? Or does it have more to do with who the person was? I mean, these are all some of the questions that I think this case is bringing up. Let's go to Bob from Fort Edwards. Do you turn in your kid best friend?
Yes, I would. And it starts at an early age when my daughters and my son would do naughty things, like go to Ace Hardware and they'd grab some cute colored little blivet and put it in their pocket and I'd see it. I would make them go to the counter and turn themselves in. And they looked very sheepish, and the people at the store were really cool. They didn't browbeat them, but it was all like, you did wrong. Can you put it back? Or do you want to buy it? Where's your money? You know, we'll take your money. But the idea that a killing of an individual, regardless of that individual, okay, it almost it smacks of, he deserved killing. What kind of a country, what kind of a world is that? We, you know, that's instant justice. We all rail against the police immediately shooting somebody, you know, particularly folks of color, but nonetheless, it happens every day. How can we justify letting a killer, okay, never mind why, but a killer go scot-free in that immediate moment, and we say, oh, the police have to be held accountable, or the military has to be held accountable.
Robert, I think you've hit on what I consider to be absolutely critical, is that we have to have some level of consistency in terms of what behavior, how different behaviors are charged with crimes and different behaviors are punished. I think one of the things that appalls all Americans is when we feel like certain people get favors and special treatment and frankly can escape accountability, and other people who have done the same exact thing get the long arm of the law and get the book thrown at them. Folks, the question to you all is, if it was your son or daughter or best friend that pulled the trigger on the United Healthcare CEO and you had a suspicion it was them, would you turn them in? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton on the text line says, I would turn them in, but plead for leniency and campaign against our brutal legal and healthcare systems. Bill from Green Bay says, no, I would not have turned him in. I do not condone or support murder, however. The American middle class, we are all tired of getting financially beat up and taken advantage of. The working class is tired of being told to just let them eat cake. Yeah, there's an element of that. You want to get your 2 cents in, your nickel's worth, a dime, maybe even a quarter, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. An astute texter from the 608 pointing out to me, Maggie, there's one other group that is guaranteed health care in this country in addition to people that are incarcerated and veterans, and that is those members of Congress. They're a bunch of crooks making decision about all of our health care. I would not have turned them in. That from a texter on the WMDX text line. Thank you for that. We're going to take more of your thoughts and comments when we come back. Would you turn in your best friend if he was the United Healthcare killer? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you follow the American Democracy Minute, you know that until last year, Wisconsin held the infamous title as one of the most gerrymandered states in the U.S. That changed November 5th. Former Governor Scott Walker accelerated gerrymandering of the Wisconsin Assembly, Senate, and congressional maps during his 2011 to 2019 tenure, engineering a 64-35 majority in the Wisconsin Assembly and a 22-11 majority in the Senate, despite an evenly divided liberal and conservative electorate. In 2023, the GOP was short of a supermajority by only 2 assembly seats. Vetoes by current Governor Tony Evers tried to keep even worse maps at bay, but a conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court ultimately allowed them. But a Supreme Court election in 2023 shifted the ideology of the court, and the court's reconsideration of the Assembly and Senate maps led to new, fairer maps for the 2024 general election. While Republicans maintain control of both houses, fair maps reduce the artificial Republican advantage in the Assembly, 54-45, and the Senate, 18-15. Veto overrides of the governor are far less likely, forcing the legislature to compromise on more legislation. The congressional district map, which did not change, but is also widely recognized as gerrymandered, gave a 6-2 advantage to Republicans. We have links to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Question of the hour. If it's your son or best friend who shot the CEO of United Healthcare, do you turn him in? Because I'm wondering where the heck this rich, privileged kid's massive network of people were. Because, like, here are the facts as we know them. He was off the grid for 6 months. He had chronic back pain, had endured a back surgery, was not happy, again, dropped out, had made some cryptic posts sort of commenting that some of the Unabomber's thinkings were, quote, interesting. He had posted his x-rays or maybe his x-rays, a back x-ray. We don't know. You put all these things together, y'all, and plus the physical similarities. Where was this guy's family? Do you turn him in? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to try to get all of it in. Anne from Chippewa Falls says this. First, it sounds like the guy has been in a lot of pain since his back surgery. Where were the people in his life to help him? Sounds like all the signs were there. That's what I'm saying, Anne. Anne continues. He was calling out for help by moving away, and the people who are supposed to love him obviously weren't there for him. He is a smart, good-looking young person. What a shame. The rich people are all running scared now. Allie from Madison. I think Allie's got a great question here. The more important discussion, Maggie, is how many people have been harmed by United Healthcare and other insurance providers. I think basically, Allie, every single one of us has probably been dealt a bad hand by an insurance company at some point in time. I know I have. What is the way forward for our healthcare system? Is it concepts of a plan, or do we want an actual plan? That's what I'd like to know. Let's go to the phone lines. Y'all have been really patient. You want to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in? 855-75-CIVIC. Now is your chance. 855-752-4842. John from Madison, what's your take? Okay, we'll come back to you, Don. Dan from Madison, what's your take? Dan, are you there? I can. There you go. Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Dan. Cardi, he can't hear me, so maybe we can work that out. Or if you can cue him, that would be great. Let's talk with John. John, are you there now? Cardi, can you cue the callers? John, are you there? I don't think they can hear me.
I hear you.
John, are you there?
One, Jack hears you.
All right, good.
Go ahead,
he
sir.
Hung up.
No, you're good. Go ahead, John.
You want me to talk?
Yep, go ahead, John. You're good.
Yeah, yeah. I was recently broke my hip, and I was in rehab, and I had Humana, and every 7 days I had a reappeal. I said, I'm not a penguin. I said, I can't put no weight on there. And they kept over every 7 to 8 days. And the last time it was 4 days, and I'm still not, I mean, I'm home, but they still shafted me out of my 100 days. I had to pay over $10,000 from August, from August 9th to September, no, to August 28th out of my own pocket. And I said, if anybody would come and write my doggone story, I think they could win themselves a Pulitzer Prize, what happened to me. And at the same time, a friend came in with a broken hip, and she had United, and they kicked her out. After 2 weeks, her daughter had to take off.
This is John's getting at a really important point. Like, there are such draconian limits that are not patient specific, that often the insurance companies will cut off coverage for care that results in all kinds of elder care issue or caring for a parent or a friend. I had to have a friend help me when I blew up my ankle badly. Let's see if we can get John from Madison back on the air. John, you there? We'll try one more time. What are your thoughts? Cardi, you got to cue them because I don't think they can hear me. John from Madison. Cardi, please talk to the callers because I don't think they can hear me.
John. I don't think John's there. I go to the
Okay, Kathy. Kathy, hi. Are you there, Kathy?
Kathy,
yes,
you're on the line.
I am. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth. I've been thinking about this since I heard you pose the question. And my honest answer would be, I don't know. And the reason is because I had United Healthcare and they screwed me out of $5,000 that I never got back in premiums. I remember them vehemently telling me that my surgery that I had some minor surgery and that it was out of network. And I had called the hospital where I'd gotten it done and they were like, no, it's in network. And they gaslight you. They're just horrible. And so I guess, to be honest, I don't condone violence or murder or vigilante justice, but when I heard about this, I can't help but think this guy, I mean, someone was going to do it eventually. And so I sort of think if it was someone I knew, if it was a loved one or a best friend or a spouse or whatever, I honestly don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would turn them in or not.
Yeah, it's impossible to know. I'm with you, Kathy. I don't know what the answer is. We're going to talk about the tax burden in the state of Wisconsin. Do you feel like you're paying a lot? Maybe not getting what you're paying for?
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. If you ever have a question for the doctor, just email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. We'll see you then.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The suspected gunman in the targeted shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO is fighting extradition to New York City to face murder charges. Luigi Mangione was taken into custody yesterday in Pennsylvania. He arrived at Blair County Courthouse shouting to the media. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Once he walked into the courtroom, he appeared a bit rumpled in a brown T-shirt and a wrinkled orange jumpsuit. He was shackled at the waist and at the ankles, and he challenged his extradition. He did not waive extradition to New York to fight the second-degree murder and other charges Mangione now faces in connection with the death of Brian Thompson.
He's now being held without bail. Aides say GOP leader Mitch McConnell is okay after falling today at a Senate luncheon. He was treated by medics briefly inside his office. In Southern California, a wildfire fueled by Santa Ana winds forced 18,000 from their homes in Malibu and is threatening Pepperdine University. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.